Blog Talk Radio.
AVS Media Demo. AVS Media Demo. AVS Media Demo. Good evening, good evening, good evening. You are listening to The Drive at 5 Live, and I am your weekly host, Patricia McDowell, from the great city of Yonkers, and we will guide you to the road to a better and healthier lifestyle with beneficial results. As you know, if you've been listening to the show all month, the month of October, we have been dedicating each show towards the awareness of breast cancer and breast cancer research. And yesterday, my team, the Body Fabulous team, who walked under the name of artist Angel Bra, we walked at Manhattanville College for Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, and it was a wonderful, wonderful event. Today we have a fantastic person, Linda, and Linda's going to tell us a little bit about herself. She's a nurse. She's going to tell us a little bit about herself and what she's going to share with us as it relates to breast cancer. So if you haven't done so, get on your email, send a text out to all the females you know to get on the phone, because we're going to have some very interesting nuggets in which we are going to share with you this evening. And let me remind you that you can also go back on past shows and you can listen to all the wonderful speakers that we've had this entire month, and you can send it out to friends and family so they can listen to it at their own time and leisure. Okay, so let's get Linda on.
Hi.
Hi, Patricia. Linda. How are you?
Yeah. Oh, all right, yourself. Thank you. And welcome for being on the Drive at 5 Live.
Thank
you. So, Linda, before we start, let's just give your full name, your title, and where you work.
Okay, my name is Linda Sakupa. I'm a registered nurse. I've been employed with Comprehensive Care Management, part of the Beth Abraham Family Health Services, for over 10 years. I started in their admissions membership development section of the home care, and now I am the program manager of one of the day programs, the day sites, in here, right down in Yonkers on 250 Warburton. Comprehensive Care Management is a long-term managed home care program providing different various home care options and health care options to those that are frail, elderly, disabled, in all the boroughs, including Westchester. And we're proud to say we're one of the newest sites here on Warburton Avenue.
Wonderful, and I'm sure, and I know that you are a welcome addition in the Warburton area, in Yonkers Avenue, in Yonkers, city of Yonkers. Okay, Linda, so tell us, what are you going to share with our listeners today?
I just want to say, Patricia, thank you again for the invitation, also, you know, for your initiative for this radio show and the efforts, in your various efforts in bringing important, relevant health topics to the community. I myself am very happy to participate in this, because the more the public is educated and made aware of any sort of health topic, and especially this month of breast cancer awareness, you have a greater informed community that seeks appropriate medical attention and care, and that is a great, great positive effect on the community. Thank you again.
And thank you for being a part of the show.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and all the pink ribbons come out, all the walks and marathons occur, and that is phenomenal. It really brings forth the attention this cause needs. But breast health, it needs to be on everyone's mind every month of the year. And in my being a nurse, being a woman, I have to say the importance of mammography, breast self-examination, as well as clinical breast exams yearly is very important. And that's what I'd like to share today is some information about that and some statistics.
Okay, great.
Okay.
You may begin.
Okay. you know, some background statistics is that breast cancer is the most common cancer cancer for women in the United States, aside from skin cancer, and it occurs more often in Caucasians than any other ethnic group. However, African American women are more likely to have breast cancer related deaths due to not seeking treatment early enough. Okay, American Cancer Society estimated in 2009, and again, the report is not out yet from the results of 2009, but in 2008, they estimated for the following year that 192,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed, and over 40,000 were expected to die from the disease in 2009, and that is just staggering statistics. It's the second leading cause of cancer death in women after lung cancer, and the American Cancer Society predicted that over 1,900 new cases of invasive breast cancer in men were going to be diagnosed in 2009.
Really?
Yes, yeah. Positive, 2.5 million breast cancer survivors in the United States today. So that is, if we can keep getting those numbers higher, keep going in the right direction, you know, we're all in the right move. Mammograms. There is such cultural, ethnic, religious differences in on how people perceive healthcare, perceive this gynecological exams, breast health, breast self exam, even having a male physician, a female physician palpating your breast. This is it's culturally, it's ethnic specific. Here in CCM, I'll tell you, we have so many various cultures, from Russian to Haitian to Asian, Chinese, Korean, that we've had to address these issues. And just like in the community, everyone, perceives it differently. So you have to address the language barrier, accessibility. There's modesty issues. Do they feel comfortable with a male in the room, a female in the room? Do they require family? Or maybe not. Maybe they don't even want family to know that they're going for a mammogram. So it takes time, patience, and, again, we're hoping that, more practitioners out there just keep diligent in suggesting a yearly mammogram. Mammograms in 1960s, late 1960s, first modern mammography occurred, okay, as we know it today. Again, we've greatly improved higher standards and quality of care. In 1987, 39% of females had mammograms. Only 39% of females in 1987. I found that so incredible. 70% of females in the year 2000. So we're getting there. We got the other 30% to go, but we are. That is, I could not believe in 1987 only 39% of females had mammograms. So
let me ask you a question then. Let me stop you there if you don't mind.
No.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think such a low number of females?
I would have assumed it would have been greater. At that time, maybe there was a body perception. Everyone was too afraid to know. It was the don't tell me rule. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. We are so everything is very open now. We like to, you know, get health topics out there. People are talking more about cancer, about diseases, about results, prevention, screenings. It's not the be-all and end-all. If you put out the information, people will be more comfortable in obtaining the care. And I think maybe there was a lack of education or advertisement or even, I could almost say marketing to the fact that we're promoting breast health. Please get a mammogram. And also, it's, you know, it causes, you know, there's the more, it costs medical, it costs the country a lot of, it's a high cost to maintain cancer patients in hospitals. And it's better, it behooves the United States to promote breast health, getting a mammo, early detection, self-breast examination, as opposed to catching these tumors at such a late stage, you know?
Right, right. But Linda, you know, I've been open. My mother has as a breast cancer survivor.
Right.
And I've seen in her doctor's office petitions asking, you know, government to make sure that they cover the cost of this much needed screening.
You know, I hope you're right. I hope everyone knows that Medicare covers a yearly mammogram, and that I would say just about every insurance and private insurance should be at this point covering mammograms yearly. It remains at this time the most effective screening test for early detection of cancer in women today. We ourselves promote this in our members. We follow the American Cancer Society guidelines. Over 40 and over, yearly mammogram. Having our nurses educating members, our participants, in self-breast exam. Educating the physicians on how to deal culturally specific with each member. Also following through in educating the community, outreach events like, you know, outreach to the community. Again, just promoting that it should be a covered, you know, covered cost. Like I said, Medicare covers a yearly mammogram, and just getting the word out there. There are various recommendations by, you know, health organizations on how often screenings should occur. But if it's, you know, if you're 40 and over, it's a yearly mammogram. It's earlier if there is a significant family history, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's sometimes people are not aware of what a mammogram is, Patricia. I mean, there are some persons that really don't know. The unknown is the scariest part. I don't need it. I don't know what they do there. They don't speak my language. And it takes all of 20 minutes. But again, if persons have accessibility in their language, okay, staff that are Asian or Korean, you know, Chinese, Korean, Russian, that will promote more usage of screening, okay? Mammograms, just to give a little background, mammograms are lower energy x-rays. They don't go through tissue as they do a chest x-ray. And this improves the contrast, the image, okay? Very important. I have to tell you, this was my own personal experience. Very important if you can remain consistent with the same facility yearly for your mammogram.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, unfortunately, I was in a very good facility doing mammograms. They subsequently closed. Your films get sent to another state. And
really?
It's very hard, very difficult to obtain your films. Then you might go to another facility, and they do maybe the films a little differently, okay? The contrast is a little different. Maybe the technique is a little different. And when you start comparing your films, the radiologist has an enormously difficult time. Very challenging. The way the breast looks on a mammogram varies a great deal from woman to woman, male to male. So it is very important. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, this brings me to a question. Our next week, our guest is a woman named Sandra Fields.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. I don't know.
right now know offhand what her title is.
Mm-hmm.
But she does the imaging.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really into this imaging, the thermography, I think it's called.
Okay.
And she said she really prefers that over having the mammogram.
Okay.
Can you explain the pros and cons of each?
Wow. Okay. Okay. Right now, I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know too much about thermography. I myself went to have a mammogram recently, and they themselves in this very large hospital, said at this time, still mammography is the best. Is the best way to go. Now, mammogram is the best way to go. Thermography is, I'm hoping that it continues on with the research and the promotion of this, because it is for those who are with dense breast tissues, okay? Mm-hmm. It has the ability to provide women with another type of screening. Unfortunately, there is a sense of that if it shows blood flow, and showing blood flow in the breast possibly to cancer, okay, to a tumor. And what they're saying is that sometimes it's showing blood flow to something that's not cancerous. So maybe more workup, more follow-up is needed after thermography, because it's showing a blood flow to everything and not just the tumor itself. Okay. I'm sorry. I wish I knew more about thermography.
I put you on the spot on that one.
That's okay. It's not a replacement for alternative to mammography. What they're suggesting is that it's in addition to mammography or other tests or procedures. Okay? They complement one another. And I do love the fact that it's out there. It's getting, recognized. It's just that what I've heard from the facility that I was in is that it sometimes shows blood flow to things that aren't cancerous, and that the workup then gets preceded after that, okay? But it is an adjunct to mammography, okay?
Okay.
But I do hope that it continues to... How could I put it? I hope it continues to be researched and go through the whole process on trial and error and studies, because if we can obtain another screening tool, okay, because mammographies are not foolproof, okay, they're not foolproof. If we can actually have another screening tool that can really show early detection, that would be phenomenal. Okay. The importance of bringing not only your report of a mammogram, but your films themselves to the facility you're presently getting your mammogram in. The radiologist really needs to read both mammographies, whether you had it in one facility, another facility. The report is one thing, but seeing the films themselves is of greater importance, okay? Mm-hmm. I myself have, I had my mammogram done in different facilities. Unfortunately, one went out of business, one closed, and the radiologist is having a difficult time. I have very dense breast tissue, and the radiologist says, you know what, you have to come back in 6 months. And I did it again, and actually one more time, another 6 months. So you see, it's of greater importance. The radiologist reported said the techniques used in your other facility, we just need to be sure, okay? Okay, best time to get a mammography? Shortly after the end of your menstrual period, when your breasts are not so swollen, tender, or sore, okay? Some people don't know mammographies, no lotions, no deodorants, the day of the mammography, okay? It is, there are times I have to educate members on what a mammography is, you know, that it is, your breast is compressed, it's squeezed between two plates of a mammography machine. It does, you know, there is some pain involved at times. You're asked to hold your breath, maybe remain steady, and then it's released. At times, not only one film is done, but different angles of your breast is taken, depending on what the radiologist requires, okay? Second, besides mammography, wow. Another very, very important, in 2009, statistics show that Asian Americans had the least mammographies. Asian Americans had the least mammographies, and it was, the studies were showing that it was due to accessibility, lack of accessibility, and modesty issues. So, again.
Wow.
Yeah, see, it's, okay, again, early detection, mammography, here comes breast self-examination. Important to do that. It's an education process. We have the internet. If you don't have the internet at home, you know, the public library system has access to the internet. There's literature. There's free literature to obtain online. Know your breasts. Know the norms. Know the changes with your menstrual cycle. Know that breasts change with age, with medication. Start as early in your 20s. Okay, know what your breasts look like. Know how they feel. Some, you know, some women are more fattier than others. Some lumpier. Some more tender. Everyone is different. So just know your norm, and it's best that you do it monthly. Okay, highly recommended you do it monthly. Again, at the end of your menstrual cycle. Okay, stand in front of the mirror. Look at yourself. Stand with your arms down, arms at your hips, and arms above your head. You also can do this exam lying down. Palpate your breast. Different techniques. Use the pads of your fingers. Feel around your breast. Some persons feel it, no matter what technique you use, nothing is right or wrong, just that the entire breast should be felt. Whether you use the pie method, make believe your breast is a pie and into quadrants. You feel from the nipple going out to the outer aspect. Okay? Circular motion, go from the nipple area in a circular motion going all the way out even to the tail of your breast, that muscle that extends from your breast to your armpit, your axillary area. Important to feel that area as well. Some women feel much more comfortable doing this in the shower, Patricia, with soap and water. Okay? It gives a higher sensation to any change and nuances, to any lumps or cysts. Okay. Excuse me.
If two questions.
Sure.
If a woman is uncertain what to do,
okay,
can they go to their regular physician to ask them to demonstrate the proper way to
examine
the bra on the breast?
You are your best advocate. You know, there are some people that say, well, I don't need a mammogram or breast exam. My physician never recommended it. Wow. Well, you know what? You're your best advocate. You need to put it out there to your primary care physician, to your health care providers. I need a mammogram or I'm due for a breast exam, and I don't know how to do it. Yes, every health care provider should be able to demonstrate or obtain the appropriate literature in the right language, or refer you to a gynecological physician, okay? We recommend that you speak. You know, it's really the importance of reaching out, open communication with your physician. If you don't hear it from your physician, you need to speak up and go, you know, I don't know how to do that. And don't just go, yeah, I did it. You know, if you don't know, find out. When in doubt, find out, okay?
Find out.
And you just, you know, looking at your breasts again, what are you looking for? You're looking for any lumps, abnormal thickening in the skin, a change in shape or color, any dimpling or puckering or swelling, redness or warmth that doesn't go away, pain in one spot that does not vary with your monthly cycle, maybe pulling in of your nipple, some nipple discharge that suddenly starts in one breast, or even things like itchy, sore, scaly skin in one of the breasts. Patricia, you don't have to see anything, okay? It's there are times when you don't see this. You don't see the signs and symptoms. That's where mammography, okay, or thermography comes in. That's when you need to go for the screening as well. Besides your breast self-exam, getting a clinical breast exam from a physician, okay? Mm-hmm. Changes occur, again, getting older. Your breasts change with age, with pregnancies, with medication. Plus, finding a lump does not necessarily mean you have cancer, okay? It's also you could be cystic. You could be have breast dense breast tissue, okay? Pardon me. Opening the communication with your physician. Risk factors. What are your risk factors, okay? Getting older puts you at a higher risk for breast cancer, but as we know, it can occur at any age, okay? Young, as I know, the people I know that have been diagnosed are of a younger age, you know? I did research, and they're saying getting older, you know, increases your risk, and yet the people I know are younger. And is that with you as well?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you find that the persons you know with breast cancer are of a younger population?
I find them to be just mixed, a real mixed bag of people who are being plagued by breast cancer.
Okay.
Very mixed.
Okay. And I myself. Go ahead.
And with that being said, how soon should we talk to our young adults?
Wow.
About,
you know what?
What we should do to prevent it.
Oh, wow. Start as early as possible. If, you know what? It's, I would say, even as in teen, you know, we're not putting the fear of God or fear into people. Education is power, okay? Awareness is power. And that, you're controlling your own health, your own advocacy. And if you start bringing that into the education system, okay, talking at home, talking with family members, even as teenagers, women in their 20s, start doing self-breast exams. And again, sometimes that's a touchy subject on how comfortable are you talking with a family member, okay, with your daughter, with your sister, okay? That's something you have to there's so much on the internet, accessibility on questions, on people who have the same questions that you do, and people also, I don't need it. I don't know it. I don't care to know it. There's no history of breast cancer in my family. People have misconceptions. And once we take away those misconceptions, we open up conversation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about it in parishes, in churches, in synagogues, in senior centers, in schools, your radio show, it is promoting awareness. Okay? there's also risk factors vary, okay? And when you look at the risk, you know, I looked at the risk factor list and you start to go, oof, wow, I have some of them. You know, we all may even have one or two of those risk factors, okay? And that's something you discuss with your physician as well about getting older. There's an increased chance of breast cancer being younger when you've had your first menstrual period, starting menopause at a later age, those that are older when they have their first childbirth, never giving birth, never breastfeeding increases your risk of breast cancer. Personal history, of course, of breast cancer in your family, mother, sister, any kind of daughter, any female family members. Okay, that increases your risk as well. Okay, let me just follow up on some things.
Okay, good.
Breast cancer genes, of course, there is the the BRCA1 and BRCA2. They're inherited. They are they're genes that are important for regulating breast cell growth, and there are individuals that are born with this alteration, okay? And again, you have to open up that communication with your physician saying, oh yes, my cousin, my female two cousins are diagnosed with breast cancer or had been. My mother, she had maybe cystic breast disease or she had a lump removed. So the doctors don't know unless you tell them. And the more they know about you, the more they could see your risk factor potential, okay? There's also some, you know, increase in risk of breast cancer for those who had been on hormone replacement therapy, those who used oral contraceptives as well. Healthy lifestyle, you know, lifestyle choices as well. It's the best thing to do. It not just for breast cancer, but for any, just for your health in general, is to make that important lifestyle decision. And these day-to-day choices affect your health. And decreasing your daily fat intake, watching the saturated or hydrogenated fats, increasing fiber in your diet, eating fresh fruits and vegetables. Again, why? Antioxidant properties. That's good not just for breast cancer. That's good for you on a whole, okay? Limit your alcohol.
Think we may have lost Linda.
No, I'm here.
So we will continue until she gets back on.
Hello?
But she doesn't know if she's off.
Hi.
So, Linda, you there? There was a break there. We didn't hear you, so.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. No, can
you
hear?
That's not a problem. Okay. Yeah,
okay,
we can hear
you
now.
Oh, wow.
Loud and clear.
I apologize. Okay. I'm just saying that daily lifestyle decisions are important as well, and that affects breast cancer risk. These day-to-day choices, you know, it's smarter steps for a healthier lifestyle, and it's not just for for breast health, but for heart disease, diabetes, decreasing your daily fat intake, watching your saturated hydrogenated fats, watching, you know, eating leaner meats, limiting the red meat. We're looking at increasing your fiber in your diet, eating fresh fruits and vegetables, again, not just for breast health, the antioxidant properties, okay, prevent some cancers. Limit your alcohol, there is a small increase in risk for breast cancer existing for women who average two or more drinks a day in beer, wine, and liquor. Stay active. You know, U.S. Surgeon General recently reported that you can help prevent many health problems by engaging in moderate amount of physical exercise. And again, don't smoke. Although, you know, smoking doesn't cause breast cancer, it can increase the chance of blood clots, heart disease, and other cancers that may spread to the breast. Okay? Okay. Now, do you find any, I have to ask you, can you hear me, Patricia?
I can hear you loud.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you find any problems in the community on accessibility to care, accessibility in finding mammography centers or low-cost mammograms?
I think two things. You know, I represent a very large African American and Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. On the west side of the city of Yonkers.
Okay.
And what I find, and not only just with breast cancer, excuse me, not so much people in our generation, but our mothers and our grandmothers,
sure.
they didn't share. So okay. you didn't know why Aunt Susie died.
Exactly.
You know, you didn't know why Uncle John is no longer with us. They just died.
You're right.
You know, and
you're right.
So, and if we knew these things, like I knew that my grandmother on my father's side had died of breast cancer, so I knew early on that I could not wait till what the 50 or whatever it was to start being tested. I had to do it early. But what happens when you don't know that? What do you do?
Right. It's true because you realize certain, you know, many family members passed away. Well, did you know, did they die from heart disease? Did they die from diabetes or breast cancer? No one really knew. And that would also, you know, that would also lead you to access maybe health care sooner, maybe screening options sooner, if you knew so-and-so in your family had history of breast cancer, you know? You're absolutely right. If there is also obtaining mammograms for information on, like, low-cost or no-cost mammography screening centers, I found a very good website. It's the www.cdc.gov. It stands for Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That can be reached at 888-842-6355. We're not promoting anyone's website or, you know, one agency over another, but they do provide information on low-cost or no-cost mammography screening.
Give that telephone number again and the email. I mean,
that's
the website.
888-842-6355 or visit their website at www.cdc.gov. Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So I thought that was, you know, that's another that is there's a great website called the National Breast Cancer Awareness Month website. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And they've been for 25 years promoting advocacy and education and awareness. And uh-huh. on there is all sorts of patient information, screening information, agencies out there for support, caregiver mm-hmm. support, as well as support for you, for those who may need help with medications, okay, medication costs while being treated for breast cancer. It's a wonderful website, provided me with a lot of information, okay?
Can I answer another
sure.
a question? And I know someone who is listening is probably wondering about this.
Okay.
You mentioned that more and more men are being diagnosed with breast cancer.
Right.
And we know that if we have a woman in our breast cancer, in our family, a sister, a mother, aunt, a grandmother, blah, 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 that we should go ahead and start doing the testing early.
Mm-hmm.
But people may not make the connection. Or should they make a connection if there's a brother, an uncle, or a father who has had breast cancer? Should they still go ahead and do the early preventative work?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I would say that again. Say that question again. I'm sorry.
So for those, we know that if a mother or aunt in the family has had breast
sure.
cancer, There sometimes people make the connection that if a brother or father has breast
okay.
cancer, that they should still, as a woman, still should go ahead and do that.
Yes. Even if the male, I would say males would also have to report to their primary care physician any history in the family. Okay? Any history mm-hmm. in the family. Again, more information the physician has about your medical history, the more informed decision he or she can make with you and can determine the risk factors for you, the appropriate screening that you need, the time that you need the screening, is it earlier, later? Though breast cancer is more common as thought of as a woman's disease, male breast cancer does occur. It's more common in older men, but it can occur at any age, again, in men. So, yes, men diagnosed with male breast cancer at an early stage have a good chance for a cure. But again, the men don't go for the attention, okay? If men are finding lumps in their breasts or any painless lump or thickening, changes to the skin, again, very similar to women, changes in their nipples, redness, they may attribute it to, oh, they're hot. They got, you know, maybe they just have dry skin on their nipples or their chest. Oh, maybe it's just a rash of some sort. You know, it's just a thickening of my skin. They really don't have it in their minds that, maybe I need to get this checked out. Okay? This is really, it's make an appointment. They should, again, if any persistent signs or symptoms that worry them, again, when in doubt, find out.
Wow. I like that.
It's not clear what causes male breast cancer, and doctors know that male breast cancer occurs when some breast cells begin to grow abnormally again, like for women. Okay? Now, okay. One moment. Patricia, one moment, okay?
Okay, sure. So while Linda is going and getting her notes together, this is, let me just recap the speakers in which we had, in case someone's new listening to the show. On October 4th, you go back to the website, the blogtalkradio.com/the Internet Chronicles. On October 4th, we had a roundtable discussion with some survivors, Wendy Johnson and Dorothy Ferreira, as well as we had Ellen Edwards talking about some up-and-coming events that are taking place this month. On October the 11th, we had Erica McQueen, and she talked about the Angel Bra and the importance of the Angel Bra. And today we have Linda, who's a registered nurse, and she's giving us some information in reference to the medical side and what should we do to prevent, and what should we do if we find out we have breast cancer, and what information we should share with our loved ones in terms of being proactive. And at the end of the month, on the 25th, we will end with Sandra Phil, who will discuss an alternative to mammogram, and that is thermometry, which is breast imaging. Linda, are you back?
Yep, I'm here. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Okay, I've had a cold recently,
so I'm just taking, if my voice fades, I apologize.
Not a problem. But before you start, can you give your contact information again for those people who are?
Sure. Again, Linda Sakupa from Comprehensive Care Management here at 250 Warburton Avenue in Yonkers. My number here is 914-377-8903. We welcome everyone. You know, if anyone is interested, stop by. Feel free to come in and stop by. We're open 5 days a week. And if anyone is interested in any of the boroughs or would like to know more about CCM programs, they can call 877-226-8500. As well as find us on the website at www.ccmny.org. Okay?
Excellent. Go ahead. Wonderful.
Okay. Breast cancer, people don't understand sometimes, lung cancer and brain tumors. People get sometimes a better understanding of that. What is breast cancer and where does it form? It forms in the tissue of the breast, usually two different ways. There's usually ducts, tubes that carry the milk to the nipple, and lobules, lobes. And those are the glands that make milk. And it's ductal cancer or lobular cancer, and it occurs both in men and women, okay? benign tumors are not cancerous. 80% of all breast tumors are benign. They can usually be removed, and in most cases, they don't come back, okay? More importantly, the cells in benign tumors do not invade other tissues or don't spread to the other parts of the body. Okay. Now, malignant tumors are cancerous. Those are the cells that grow and divide, and they may invade nearby tissues and organs and may spread to other areas of the body. Okay. So that's the type of breast cancer there is. treatments out there. Basic treatment choices for breast cancer are surgery, radiation, chemotherapy. There's hormonal therapy, which may or may not be included in the treatment regimen, okay? Hormonal therapy is used to slow the growth, spread, and reoccurrence of breast cancer. It's if the cancer is found to be of the type that may be sensitive to estrogen, hormonal treatment may be able to keep estrogen from helping the cancer cells grow and divide. So hormonal therapy is sometimes used and sometimes not used, depending on the type of tumor it is. There's also biological targeted therapy, and that covers a range of new options that are added to cancer treatment, such as surgery, radiation, chemotherapy. These biologically targeted therapies, these are specific. They're intended to have less effect on normal cells. They reduce the chance of possible side effects. It goes into very scientific terms. They include antibodies, which bind to the proteins of the cancer cells, and it slows down the cancer cell growth. So that's biological targeted therapy. These are, you know, a range of new options available. Okay? Okay. Now, I know from my experience in talking with women, a lot of the fear of mammogram, and I got to tell you, this was even for my family member, is the way the technique is done. Okay, when it comes to mammographies, the technique is important. If you're not happy with your mammography facility, the way the technician is assisting you with the machine, with the process, speak out. Speak up, speak out. No one is to be manipulated or into the machine or pushed. And, you know, I've heard, unfortunately, some horror stories. Hello?
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hear you.
I've heard some horror stories, and I got to tell you, one of them was my mother. And
wow.
It was where she came home crying. Mom has a huge pain tolerance, but she, for quite some time, refused to go for a mammography. Now, here I am, a nurse, a healthcare provider, and I'm going, Mom, you have to go. Please, please, please follow up, go. And she says, I was pushed into the machine. The woman was in a rush. She was yelling. She was like, don't move, you're moving, you move. It was, you know, so you hear these horror stories. And you know what? No one needs to go through that. There has to be patience. There has to be, again, cultural differences, language barriers. You have, you know, one needs to explain what the process is, what you're going to feel, how long is it going to take. It's really, that is very important. And I myself had to push my mother and get her into a mindset of, I'll go with you. I'll go with you to another facility. We'll take your films, which, again, took some time to obtain and retrieve. Go to another facility and let's try that one. And sure enough, it was, she came out crying again for another reason, is that, oh my gosh, was this how it was supposed to be done?
Wow.
So I don't know if you've heard that. You know, that really, you know, that's not the only time. I mean, that was my mother, but I've heard it from other people where going, well, they were in such a rush. They were trying to get us all out. They were lining us up, you know, getting us through. No one needs that. It's stressful enough to go for it. I mean, am I correct? I mean, I tense up when I go because I know, oh, gee whiz, here we go.
Here we go again, yeah.
Here we go. But you know what? It's necessary. It's something you could do for yourself. And if you have a bad experience, it's very hard to go back, okay? And if you have support and know that it shouldn't be like this, then you can find another facility. And, again, there's so many qualified, high-quality facilities out there. Again, barriers as well. I never thought about it. I have no breast problems. I don't have enough time. I've heard that. I don't have enough time. I don't need a mammogram. No breast cancer history. So, again, these are the barriers that we have to break down. We have to keep again, on your radio show, outreach to the community, education to our young people, education to the community, our elders, to everyone, not just in October, but every month, is really promoting that awareness, the hindrances that might be out there, okay, so that it breaks down the barriers to getting screened, getting tested, okay? And it's overcome with health education and outreach. It really is.
What is the when would you, you know the situation in many communities, what would you say people should do if God forbid, that they do discover that they have breast cancer?
What should they do?
Okay. Yeah, what should be the first thing that they do?
Okay. First of all, if they feel something, okay, in of themselves, they feel a lump. Not all lumps are cancerous. And again, there's benign, there's cancerous, there's cysts, there's swollen nodes. Huge varying amount of factors are involved. Okay, dense breast tissue, your harder breast tissue, you're not fatty, you've got harder muscle tissue. It may feel bumpier to you. Seek medical attention, okay? Go to your physician. Make that appointment. When in doubt, find out, okay? Don't panic, and it's very hard not to. It's very hard not to. You know, someone I know, again, found a lump. Subsequently, yes, she underwent treatment. It was, you know, she did the survival. She's been 10 years without any cancer. Seek medical attention, okay? Get it looked at. You have to overcome that fear of, oh my gosh, what is it? What is it? Well, you know what? You can do something about it. Seek medical attention and go through the proper screening, okay? If you can, reach out to family, reach out to friends, okay, for support, because we all need it. We all need that backup, that support. That really does mean the world of difference, okay, when we're in it together, okay? You can't, some people are more solo. They can do this by themselves, but if you have that support with you, you can go through it, okay? Maybe take a friend or, you know, just... Again, internet, if they have accessibility to the internet, research. Education gives you empowerment, okay? Mm. And of course, there's so much information out there, sometimes it becomes too overwhelming, and you don't know what to make heads or tails of anything. But again, reach out to your, if you need to, go to your local health center. Go to your local health clinic, okay? Go to that physician. Maybe you haven't made that medical appointment in a long time. Follow up. And the best thing to do is that so that you can have peace of mind. Either, you know, it could be nothing or it can be something that can, you know, you need treatment, but you've detected it. You know, you've taken that first step. You've detected it, and you're doing something about it.
Yeah, and I tell you, you feel like you don't want to breathe.
No, right.
You have to breathe.
Yes. You have to take that initial breath and go, okay, now what? And you can't say, oh, it's going to go away. You know, people do, okay, I feel something swollen. Well, actually, yes, your breast may be, you may have a swollen lymph node or something. Maybe you palpated your breast closer to your menstrual cycle, okay, and you're more tender and swollen. It's okay. So you feel that way. You take that deep breath and just go on. You know, I felt something, or they found something, let me follow up. If you sit back and say it'll go away, you know, it doesn't go away. You have to take that first step. And sometimes friends, family, and it is. You have to open that communication with your physician. If you are going to a mammogram in one facility, sometimes, you know, there could be miscommunication or no communication with your primary physician. So you have to let that primary physician know, you know, I did a mammogram here, here, and this is what they found. Sometimes you just never know. That paperwork never got transmitted to your primary care physician. So the follow-up, you're waiting for some follow-up to occur, and there's not going to be that follow-up because the communication between your mammogram facility and your primary care physician never occurred, or your gynecologist, it never occurred. So you have to be aware of that as well. In this day and age, I have to tell you, usually the first thing they do in mammogram facilities is who's your primary physician or who should this report go back to. Okay, or usually they send it back to the physician who requested the mammogram. Okay.
I know that when, you know, because I went with my mother, and we, you know, we went for her, you know, but I take my mother to her doctor's appointment.
Right.
And when we were told that, you know, there was something that they were very concerned about with the screening.
Okay.
You know, the first thing you just don't know what, you know, you start going through worry mode, and I guess that's normal.
Yeah.
And then when you actually go and the doctor confirm it, then
yeah.
it's almost as if you don't have time to think.
Yes. Right.
And you get on this hurry up mode.
Okay.
And you don't know what, and but you do know you have to make a decision.
Okay.
But you want hurry up mode.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why I said you have to breathe. You really have to breathe.
Yes.
And like you said, you have to talk to people. You have to talk with people
yeah.
born
and you
to
have
it.
To find, you have to find support. Like, again, I'm going to refer back to this National Breast Cancer Awareness Month website. It's actually called nbcam.org. And it has patient services. It's phenomenal. It's actually special collaboration of all these very large organizations, American Cancer Society, Cancer Care, Breast Cancer Network of Strength, and it actually gives you support centers, support information, staying informed, how to read your own pathology report, newly diagnosed help. So the information is out there. And it's strong emotions. You've got anxiety, fear, sorrow, anger, panic. All that is coming not only on you, but your family, okay, your caregiver, your loved one, your friends even, you know. That's all coming on them as well. And unfortunately, it requires that you be at your most focused, okay? And you again, like you said, it's a hurry up now. Let's go. Let's move on. And there's a rush sense. Breathe and know your options. And if you feel you want to go for second opinions, if you want that other opinion, that other screening, that is your choice. You know, again, follow up with your insurance agencies on what is covered, okay, what isn't covered, okay, that also. Follow up on what, unfortunately, that comes into play, Patricia, am I right, you know, is what,
yeah.
what your health insurance is going to cover, what treatments, what modalities, again, what is right for you. For age, for preferences, the risk and benefits of each treatment. You know, you really have to almost start having another person hear what is being said to you, because I can imagine when you leave that doctor's office, it may escape you, you know, what is being told to you. You know, so again.
And the journey is not, the journey doesn't stop at treatment.
No.
The journey continues, and it continues really for 5 years.
Yes. It really does. And the follow-ups, the yearly tests that you need to do for, you know, the number of years. Again, knowing what resources are available to you and your loved ones, letting you take an active role in your own treatment, okay? There's links to videos, important resources on the internet. Again, public library has access to the internet, and push your healthcare provider, okay? There is, you know, we have one of the most technologically advanced healthcare systems, and we should be able to provide both emotional support, physical support to these persons with breast cancer, other than just the treatments that are available. Okay, we have to realize that so much more goes behind just the surgery, the radiation, the chemotherapy. There's also a whole psychosocial, okay, a whole change in body image, family dynamics change, who's the caregiver, who's the care provider now. You know, so many things. It is the toughest, one of the toughest life challenges one may encounter, not just for that person, but for their loved ones.
I tell you, I think one of the things that I learned to appreciate, and it's not for everybody, like you said, for everyone has to decide what method of treatment and how they should go, what's most comfortable for them.
Okay.
But I tell you, the one thing I really appreciated was, in the past, I always said I was also totally against it, but my mother was in a network. She
okay.
was with the West Med network.
Okay, okay.
And I tell you that was a wealth. That was just a godsend.
Oh,
because everybody
okay.
was everybody was connected.
Okay.
Everybody knew what XYZ was doing.
Beautiful.
And then when we, like you said, you're overwhelmed. You
yeah.
hear one, you know, the person you're with hear one thing, and you hear something else, and there's a whole other story to the conversation.
Yes.
So when you get a clear head, you can go back to whatever the doctors you say. What does this doctor mean? And the next doctor can go and look in the chart and say,
beautiful,
oh,
beautiful. That actually is very important. That is as you said, you come out of, you know, even on a regular physical. You come out of there saying, oh, did the doctor say to take that medication with that one, or I need to follow up with that one? You remember hearing bits and pieces, and then when you call him and her up, they go, no, I told you this. Wow, I don't recall that. So, in being diagnosed and being told, you know, now every, you know, the options available to you, what's in the future for you, it's extremely, extremely a challenge, and important to know that you have good healthcare providers backing you up
yeah.
and understanding.
Yeah. I tell you, there was one time because we were going to so many doctors, you know, we were going to a different doctor, and one place we went to the wrong doctor, and as soon as we walked in, the receptionist looked at us, and she looked at us and said, "You don't belong here. You're supposed to be XYZ." So I was like, oh.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
It was just a godsend.
Yeah, and very, your mother, very lucky to have you, and I'm glad that you really advocated, you know, for her. That's fantastic. There's also a sense also, you know, Patricia, there are family members, once they hear their loved ones get, you know, any chronic condition or cancer, there are times family members just go, oh, okay, that's it. I don't want anything to do. You know, unfortunately, there is instances like that where, oh, wow, now I'm going to be the responsible party. Oh, wow, now I'm going to have to take care of him or her. Wow, I'm going to, you know, their fear comes upon them,
yeah.
okay? And they have to overcome that fear, saying, you know what, I've got to be by their side. And that's also, the healthcare provider, even us, we find out who's your backup, who's going to be with you
wow.
going through this treatment. Is there family we can contact, friends? Who do you want involved? And that's important for us in our home care is that making sure that person has the network with them, okay, their support system.
Is that the same as, I know the answer, but I'm just for the people listening, is that the same as having a health proxy?
You know what? Okay, you have your healthcare proxy, okay, but sometimes your healthcare proxy may not be the one you want with you going to medical appointments, okay? Sometimes you just want your best friend. Or, you know, a sister. Your healthcare proxy may be your sister, but you want your mother to come along with you.
Mm.
You know, you sometimes have to, you know, deal with the fine lines of this. Who's your healthcare proxy as opposed to, well, now, you know, when someone, it's not just for breast cancer, but with anything, if you've been diagnosed with something that needs ongoing treatment for, or temporary treatment, is there someone that you wanted with you? And you'd be surprised. Sometimes they may say, you know what, I've got a friend who I want with me. You know, mm-hmm. and that's, and just to have it down on record that that participant, that member wants that person with them, but their healthcare proxy or these are their health wishes. It really is important to know who's who in the play of things, who's in the scheme of things, who's playing what role, and what role do you want them to play? You know, I still have a voice. I would still like to make my own decisions. Even though I have a healthcare proxy in place, if you're, you know, you've got mental capacity and make your own decisions, well, I'm still going to be making them, you know. I want to know everything. Don't bypass me and tell my daughter or tell my sister, you know. It's important to know who the players are, you know, and who you want as your support.
Linda, for the, you know, unfortunately, we're living during a time where so many people are losing their jobs.
Yes.
And so, you know, guess what? No job, no money, no insurance.
You're right.
What happens to these individuals? We're talking about go out and get a mammogram, go do this, go do
right.
that, be proactive. What do we say to these individuals who now just don't have a job?
It's very hard because some don't even pay for their health insurance privately, you know, the COBRA or what have you. You know, people out of work pay for their own health insurance, and it's an enormous amount, depending on what coverage you want. And some say, you know what, I'll remain healthy. I won't get sick. Or if I get sick, you know what, I'll get some medication from my brother, you know. It's very hard to still advocate for your health, you know, promoting health screenings, getting your blood pressure checked, getting your cholesterol checks, your lab work, physicals, when people are out of work and they've got, you know, things to worry about, such as I need to get food on the table, maybe I'm doing something on the side, I'm doing something here and there, and I don't have time to pay out of pocket for a mammogram or a prostate screening. And you just have to, you have to promote the fact that, again, early detection is best, okay?
Yeah.
If you can, early detection, there are centers out there that will do a sliding scale fee, okay?
Mm.
On, you know, such as, let's say, even, you know, again, not promoting one agency or facility, Yonkers Health Center, sliding scale fee for appointments, for medical care, doing some research, reaching out to, even if you have to go to the local hospital and reach out to the emergency department, finding out what's available out there should you get sick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The best thing is early detection leads to, you know, much more healthier outcome. And again, it is a tough call in these day and times when people are out of work and are trying to put food on their table and clothes on their back, and last thing on their mind is worrying about getting my blood pressure checked, but if you, you know, or having, you know, a mammography. But you have to educate them, if you're not healthy, then you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your loved ones, period.
That's,
you know,
exactly right.
Okay.
Well, Linda, it's we're past the football.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much information. You are a wealth of information, as always. Could you, first of all, give us again your full name, your title, your contact information, and then give us some words of wisdom that we can close out with.
Okay. my name is Linda Sakupa. I'm a registered nurse by profession. I am the program manager of the Yonkers Comprehensive Care Management Center at 250 Warburton Avenue in Yonkers. We are part of the Beth Abraham Family of Health Services. We provide an array of home care options, health care options, adult daycare services under the Beth Abraham umbrella. I can be contacted at 914-377-8903, as well as if you'd like to know anything more about CCM or even Beth Abraham Health Services, you can call 877-226-8500. Words of advice. Wow. You know what? When in doubt, find out, okay? When awareness, education is empowerment, okay? It really is. The doubt factor, the unknown, really increases people's fears. And when one knows more about something, you feel more comfortable. You feel more comfortable that you can tackle it, that you can address it, that you can make that first jump into saying, you know what, I'm going to go get that mammogram. You know what, it's something I can do for myself. You know, that's health advocacy. That's it. We're making strides in that. And according to statistics on how many persons are now getting mammograms, on how many survivors are out there now from breast cancer, more education, more outreach. Patricia, like what you're doing, my dear, is unbelievable. Your advocacy and health events, health outreach, this radio show, that is what really empowers, educates the community. Okay? And I thank you again.
Well, thank you, Linda. Thank you so much for being a part of the Drive at 5 Live, and I'd like to call upon you in the future to be our guest again and talk on another subject matter.
Good. My pleasure. Our pleasure, okay?
Very good. Thank you so much again. Okay, listeners, this ends another fantastic show, and I hope that you take this information and really apply it to your lives. And as well as sharing this information, do you know someone who is unable to listen to the show at 5 o'clock? Certainly, they can listen to the show at their leisure at any time during the day. Just go to the blogtalkradio.com/the Internet Chronicles, and they can listen to all of the past show. And I'd just like to thank all of my viewers for listening each and every week. We had 687 people who listened to our shows today, and then I thank you for that. And again, please share this information. And until next week, be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And I wanted to also mention again once more that Sandra Field will be talking about imaging. Another technique used to help detect whether or not a woman or a man has breast cancer. Again, have a fantastic and wonderful week. Be well.
AVS Media, Dana. AVS Media, Dana. AVS Media, Dana. Media.